Shtei noshim sha'osu shnei kavin. Two women made those of a kav each, which is just below the required shear to separate chalo. The nogu zebezeh, but they put them next to one another, or combined them, according to the different views we had. Either the two does who got to bite into one another, could the chomim actually join, or you just put them together in the same basket, or whatever they had to do to join them, they did that. Afilu heimim min echad, even though they are both of the same type, because if they were different types, they certainly wouldn't combine. But even if they were the same type of dough, nevertheless, puturim. Since generally people are particular that their doughs remain distinct and not intermingle, the Mishnah teaches that the two doughs are not viewed as one, and therefore it's below the shear. But if they belong to one person, then obviously she doesn't object to her two does joining together to one. If they're both of the same type, then it combines and yochayv v'chalo. But if it's a different kind of dough, the one's wheat and one is spelt or something, we'll see in a minute what the different types are, which combine and which don't. But if it's considered a different type, then even if it belongs to the same owner, potter, they're not considered as joining, and there's not a shear to take challah. Base. Ezehu mimba minoi, so what do we consider to be the same kind? Hachitin enimit starfizim akoyil enim alkoismim. So we've got five different species of grain, as we know. Wheat does not combine with anything except spelt. The other species, the barley, oats, and the rye, are considered to be different types with regard to wheat. So wheat combines with spelt. Hasa'irim mitzdarfesim hakol. Barley combines with everything except with wheat. So with rye, with oats, with spelt, but not with wheat. Rav Yochanan Nuri Omer Sharaminim mitzdarfim zemzeh. Rav Yochanan Nuri says that the other minim, other than wheat, all combine with one another. Gimel. Shnei kavin v'kav oireis v'kav truma be'emtza. We talked earlier about having two doughs and joining them together by means of bridging them together with another piece of dough. So we say here, if you have shnei kavin, two doughs of a kav, both of which are just below the shear, and you join them together, but you join them with a kav oireis, with a rice dough, where the rice itself is not mechuyev b'challah, who kav truma, or even if it's actually a wheat dough, but it's a wheat dough of truma, truma is not chayev b'challah, b'emtza inim mitzdarfim, so it can't join together. The joining has to be with some dough which in itself is chayev b'challah. Davo shenitlo chalosai b'emtza mitzdarfim. But something which is chayev b'challah, but its challah has already been taken, so there's no actual obligation, but it fits the same category. Mitzdarfin, it does join the two doughs together. Shekvan is chayev b'challah. Since it was once obligated in challah, that is enough to act to combine the others. Dalit. Kav chodosh v'kav yoshon shenoshu zebezeh. A kav of new flour and a kav of old flour, which joined one another, bit into one another, with regard to truma and maisris. The law is that you can't separate truma from one year onto another year, that we know. The same halacha applies to challah. You can't separate dough made with new flour on dough which is made with old flour from a previous year. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel Omer Yitol Mina Emtza. What you can do is, says Rabbi Shmuel, so you've got two doughs, both of which are not a shear, and the trouble is, and they join to one another, but the trouble is that one is new flour and one is old flour from different years. Rabbi Shmuel says, Yitol Mina Emtza. You can take some dough from the middle, where it's some new and some old, and that is sufficient. It takes a portion of the challah from the section containing the dough of the new flour, and another portion from the section containing the dough of the old flour. The chomim oisrim. Chom say you can't do that. You cannot combine a new flour with old flour, even if you're taking challah from, as it were, the center, and you've got some challah from each part. Yeah. Hanoitel challah min hakav. If somebody took challah from a kav, so we said a kav is just less than the shear, and he took challah, and then subsequently, even though it wasn't really chayv b'challah yet, and subsequently added to the original dough, so that it makes up the required measure. Do you say the challah you took earlier had some validity, and there's no chiyuv to take challah again? Or do you say when he took the challah the first time, there was no chiyuv to take challah, so what he took was absolutely nothing, was of no value, and he's got to do it again? Rabbi Kiva, challah. Since you subsequently enlarged the dough to the requisite measure, the original challah designation is valid retroactively. Chachamim say you can't do that. The first challah was completely invalid, and you have to take it all over again. The other side of this is in Mishnah Hay. Shnei kabin shenitnu chaloso shel zeh b'fnei atzmo v'shel zeh b'fnei atzmo. You had two doughs. Each one is only a kav, less than yishir, and therefore not chayev challah. And yet you took challah from each individual one separately, and then you joined the two together, so now there's a shir. Rabbi Kiva poter. Rabbi Kiva says there's no requirement to take challah again from this new combined dough, because the separate challahs, which you took from the two doughs before you put them together, work retrospectively. Rachamim mechayvim. Rachamim say, just like they said before, that the previous challah that you took when it wasn't a shear was of no value whatsoever, and therefore now you've combined them and you've made a shear, you have to take them again. Nimtza chumroi kuloi. Therefore it turns out that his stringency is his leniency. In other words, Rabbi Kiva's chumra in the previous Mishnah, when Rabbi Kiva said that the challah is valid, is a chumra, and therefore it has to be treated with all the stringencies of challah, and it's prohibited to a non-kohen, and it's got to be eaten b'tahara. That is also a leniency here, in as much as you don't need to take challah again when you combine the two together. The Forishim asked the Kasha that basically this Mishnah is saying almost exactly what it said in the previous Mishnah. It's the same halacha. Tosfos Chadoshim says that when we said before that Rabbi Kiva holds it's considered challah, Rabbi Kiva Oimrim Kiva Oimah challah, we might have thought it was only a chumrah, that having separated something as challah, it looks for all intents and purposes as challah, that you have to treat it as challah. But you've still got to take challah again when you make it into a larger dough. Here you see explicitly you don't have to. Okay, six. This Mishnah is talking about chalas demai. Chalas demai here, however, does not refer to, like we had, the demai with Trumas and Maestros, when you have an Amoritz, where there's a sophic whether they've taken Trumas and Maestros properly, or Truma they have taken, but Maestros are a sophic, and it's called demai, and you have to do it again. Because it can't mean that over here, because challah has got the same status as Truma. And just as we know that Amaya Oretz were makbid to separate Truma, they were also makbid to separate challah. So therefore the Meforeshim understand that the term demai here is used in a borrowed sense to mean also a case where the challah is in doubt. So we call it challah's demai. We're actually talking about sophic challah. You're not sure, you can't remember whether you've taken a challah or not, it's a sophic. Some Edim say that challah was taken, other Edim say that challah was not taken, it's a sophic. No tell Adam k'tei challah me'isa shelo hurma chalasa la'asisa betaro lifi liyos mafresh alea v'hilech challah stamai. One can take an amount of dough for challah for a dough whose challah has not been taken. From a dough whose challah has not been taken, to make it in tara in order to continuously separate from it challah of demai. What we're talking about here is, you've got challah of demai. And it's questionable whether you need to separate challah or not. What you can, a person can set aside a tahar dough which is definitely chayav for challah, and he keeps it in a separate place, and he's got it in a separate container in his fridge, as it were, where whenever he needs to take separate challah onto a dough which is in Sofik, he can separate it from this challah. Even though, as we'll see in a moment, even though it is not mina mukaf, even though we said previously that in order to separate challah from one dough another dough, they've got to be combined together, or at least together in a basket. Here, because it's only Sofik challah, you're allowed to set aside a dough somewhere and keep it tahar. And whenever you have a questionable dough, you can designate a portion of that tahar dough equivalent to the amount of challah that is due. It's actually a complicated Mishnah, and there's a lot to talk about here, but we've also got a lot of Mishnahs to do, so we won't go into further detail, simply to understand it like that. Until it goes rotten, until it gets spoiled. So even if it started to spoil, and it's inferior to the dough that it's coming to permit, that you're separating the challah on, nevertheless you can continue to use it as challah until it gets ruined. Shechalas demai niteles min hatoh ala tomei. Because in the case of a chalas demai, you are allowed to separate from a tohar onto a tomei, even though we said previously that you cannot separate chala from a tohar and a tomei, but you can when it's only a sofik. V'shalomin amukuf, and you can also take chala shalomin amukuf in a case of a sofik. Zayin. Yisrael shahoyu arisim lo'uvdei kechovim. Yidden, who were arisim, that means they were sharecroppers, for Ovdei Kechovim, for Goyim. Besuria, in Suria. So we're talking about, first of all, Suria, which is not really a part of Eretz Yisrael. And even though David HaMelech conquered it, since he conquered it before the rest of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael was complete, it was considered Kivush Yachid, the conquest of an individual, and he did not get all the halachas of Eretz Yisrael regarding Trumas and Maestras and Shemitah and such like. However, Midrabonon, they did give it the halachas of Trumas and Maestras. So, if you owned land in Suria, you would be chayev to separate Trumas and Maestras, Shvius, etc., etc., on your land in Suria. Yeah. Plenty of land going in Syria at the moment, if you want to... He won't try this out. However, here he didn't own the land. He was merely a sharecropper. Sharecropper means you work someone else's land in exchange for a percentage of the crop. That Rabbi Eliezer holds that since Chazal gave the Surya the same din as Eretz Israel, albeit Midrabanon, Yochayev to separate Masreis and Shavias, even though you've got no actual ownership in the land. For Ram Gamliel Poiter, he said that although you have to keep, although he agrees that, yes, Midrabonon has got the dinim of Shemitah and Masreis, that's only if you actually own the land. If you're merely a sharecropper and you're just getting a percentage of the pay raise, then you are not machayev. Ram Gamliel Omesh Dei Chalos V'Suria. That, interesting halacha. But whereas in Eretz Yisrael, coming to the din of challah now, so you have a dough, you have to separate one portion of challah, you give it to the kohen. In Chutz La'aretz, you have to separate two portions of challah. Why? Because Chazal Gvagozer, that all lands outside Eretz Yisrael are considered to be Tomei. Because there was a concern that the Goyim just left corpses or buried them in unmarked graves, and therefore a person could very easily become Tomei, something could become Tomei without being aware of it. I always find this very ironic, this halacha, Because we know that as soon as anybody puts down a foundation or digs a hole anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, they always find bones. And that's why you have all these news items with the Astra Kedisha, etc., etc. Whereas in Chosaris, we don't assume that when you start digging, you find bones. But nevertheless, Chazal were concerned about the corpses which are left in unmarked graves in Chosaris. So, challah separated outside Eretz Yisrael is considered to be tomei, and it cannot be eaten, has to be burned. However, Chazal enacted that in Chutz La'aretz you should separate a second portion of challah, which you actually give to a kohen. So the people residing there should not forget that the challah is supposed to be given to the kohen. So it's really quite bizarre. Whole thing is midrabanan. You separate two portions of challah. The first one you burn, and the second one, even though it's also really tamei, but since it is challah and it's not challah, it's not really challah because you really took challah which you burnt. So in order not to forget the idea that challah should be given to the kohen, you have to take a second portion and give it to the kohen. So according to Rabban Gamliel, Surya was included in the lands of Chutz La'aretz, even though we just said a moment ago that Surya has a certain din in the Eretz Yisrael. But as far as this din of Tumas Eretz or Amim, that the land is considered Tomei, Surya is included, and therefore Rabban Gamliel says, Shtei chalos for Surya, you've got to do this business with burning the first one and giving the second one to a kohen. Rabbi Elazar says, it's got a din of Eretz Yisrael, and the din of the land becoming considered to be Tomei did not apply in Surya, and therefore there's only one challah. Och zu kulish Rabban Gamliel, the kulish Rabban Elazar. Originally, they followed Rabban Gamliel's ruling that the sharecroppers were exempt from tithes in Surya. In other words, they were taking on, it's not like Eretz Yisrael. And they took on also the leniency of Rabbi Eliezer, that you only need to separate one challah portion, because it is like Eretz Yisrael, so it's rather contradictory. Chozru lino kutiv Rabban Gamliel b'shei devarim. But in the end, they changed and they adopted Rabban Gamliel's position completely, i.e. that Surya does not have the status of Eretz Yisrael, and a sharecropper does not have to take tithes or keep Shemitah, but it does have to separate two portions of challah. 8. Rabban Gamliel omer shalosh arotzos l'challah. There really, says Rabban Gamliel, three areas of which have different dinim for challah. The first one is the land of Eretz Yisrael, which was sanctified, actually sanctified, because there's a halacha that the kedusha which the land originally had was lost when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Ezra came back and he re-sanctified the land, but he sanctified a much smaller portion than had been the original land of Eretz Yisrael. So that there's the area of land in Eretz Yisrael which was sanctified by Ezra, which is subject to the laws of challah min haTorah. Then there's the land within Eretz Yisrael, but was not sanctified by Ezra. It was only subject to the laws of challah midrabanan. And then there's a third area, which is the area outside the biblical boundaries of the land. And now we're going to explain geographically where they are. Mi Eretz Yisrael ad Kaziv. From Eretz Yisrael, going right up north, as far as Kaziv, somewhere around, somewhere north of Akko. Some say it was 13.5 kilometers north of today's Akko. So Eretz Yisrael ad Kaziv, challah achas. That is considered to be all proper Eretz Yisrael, and you only have to take one challah. Mikaziv ad Nahar v'ad Amono, from Kaziv further north, up to the river on the northeast, and Amono in the northwest. And where this is much further north. Some place it is far north along the Mediterranean coast as the southern tip of Turkey, near the ancient city of Antioch, while others identify it with near Beirut. According to the first version, we're really going a long way up north, where it still has the dinim of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, although not sanctified by Ezra. And then it's only midrabanan, and therefore shtei chalos. Achas la'ur v'achas la'koin. One gets burnt, as we said before, and the second one you give to the goyim. Shel ur yesh lo shir. The first one is the real challah, and therefore it has the proper shir. One 24th or 148th, as we said before. V'shal kohen in loshir. But the second one, which was only so that you shouldn't forget the idea of giving challah to the kohen, has no shir. Even a minuscule amount you can be yotza with. A token amount. And the third area, min hanor v'adamono v'lifnim, from the river and Amono, further in. Some people have the girsa and further out, because if you think about it, it's not going further outwards, but others have got the girsa further in, but it still means a further into the main land of the world, but it still means going further away from Eretz Yisrael. And there is also all midrabanon, shtei chalos, achas la'ur v'achas la'koyin. Well, again, one gets burnt, and one is given to the Kohen. But it's the other way around this time. Shel or ein lo shir. But the one which is put in the fire has no shir, and the one which is given to the Kohen does have a shir. Since this is proper challah of chutz la'aretz, and it's completely midrabanon, the Chachomim felt that it's preferable to give the Kohen the larger portion. Why should the larger portion get burnt? Rather, well, do the burning as the token zikorin, the token remembrance, and the larger one should be given to the Kohen. And what's more, it can even be eaten by a Kohen who is Tomei, he's been to the mikveh, but really, he would have to wait till nightfall to become completely taha. That's called a tvul yom. He, even a tvul yom, can eat this second portion, which is given. However, Rabbi Yossi omer ein tzarech tevila. Rabbi Yossi says he can even eat it without tevila altogether. That means he can eat it if he is a balkeri, which is a lenient form of tumah, he can still eat this rabbinic chutz la'aretz challah. However, it's asur lazovim v'lazovos v'lanidos v'layolvos. Right, but to the more severe forms of tumah, which are ovos ha'tumah, then he can't eat it, and they can't eat it. He can eat it together. This is a very lenient challah. He can eat even together with a non-Kohen at the same table. Normally you can't eat challah together with a Yisrael at the table for fear that the Yisrael will accidentally pick up some of this challah and eat it. But here he can. V'netenes is the whole Kohen, and it can be given to any Kohen, even one who's not careful to eat his chulin b'tahara. Proper challah you can only give to somebody who is meticulous to eat b'tahara. But here you can give it to any kohen. Ve'elu nitonim l'chol kohen. And these are the various matnos kohuna, the various priestly gifts, which can be given to any kohen, even one who's not careful to eat his chulin in a state of tahara. You can't give him truma, got to be eaten in a state of tahara, and you can't give him challah from a proper challah from Eretz Yisrael, got to be eaten in a state of tahara. And yeah, you're concerned that even if he knows it's got to be in a state of tahara, since he's not normally particular about these things, he might inadvertently contaminate the truma or challah, so you shouldn't give truma or challah to such a person. But all these other things you can give to any kohen. Although some say the term any kohen is still got to be a chover, a Torah scholar, but not one of these elevated, pious individuals who eat their chulin in a state of tahara. So hacharomim, these are properties which are dedicated not to the Beis HaMikdash, but to the Kohanim. People give a matana to the Kohanim, and they're divided amongst the Kohanim, even though they've got a certain sanctity whilst the originally person holds them. But once they're given to the Kohen, they become his possession properly, completely. He can do what he likes with them, and they can be given to any Kohen. Habachoyros, the Kohen gets the firstborn animals of a cow, a sheep, or a goat. And if they're perfect and they eat, then they're offered up on the Mizbeach, and the Kohanim, wives, children, and servants can eat the meat. If they are blemished, then they're treated as chulin, and the Kohen can shecht them and eat them as he likes, even in a state of tumah. You can give a bechor to any kainim. Pidyon aben, any kainim. Peter, pidyon peter chamor, the firstborn offspring of a donkey, which also has to be redeemed with a sheep or a goat, which is given to a kohen, any kohen. Vazara v'alachayayim v'akeva. This is a very interesting halacha, which we learn about in the Psukim, but as a kohen, I've often wondered about it. When you shecht any ordinary domestic species of animal, you've got to take the foreleg, the jaws, and the stomach, the fourth stomach, the ubermasum, and you give it to the kohen. Don't know what the Kohen's supposed to do with all these stomachs that people keep bringing. You know, it must be some kind of cholent or stew which you can have. But anyway, voracious agaz, the first of the fleece, when you cut the wool of your sheep, all got to be given to the Kohen. V'shemen sreifa, and this is truma. We just said truma you can't give to any Kohen. But truma which is tomei, and the only thing you can do with it is to burn it, and the Kohen's allowed to burn it and to benefit from the burning, it can be given to any Kohen. The Kodshe HaMikdosh, and animals that were, Kodshe HaMikdosh, any edible portion which the Kohanim receive, for example, the meat of animals offered on the Mizbeach, the remainder of the flour offerings, the showbreads, which were Lechem Aponim, which were renewed every Shabbos, all eaten by the Kohanim, they can be eaten by any Kohen. V'ha bikurim, and similarly, bikurim. Rabbi Huda oisib bikurim. Rabbi Huda says that bikurim are treated like truma or chala, and they can only be given to a chover who is meticulous regarding the laws of truma and tara. Karshine sruma, which we've mentioned this karshinim several times already in the Mishnah, bitter vetch, which is some sort of legume that is primarily used for animal fodder, but can be used eaten by humans in time of famine or if they're desperate. So Rabbi Akiva views this bitter vetch as animal food, and there's no requirement to safeguard the truma of animal food from tuma, and therefore Rabbi Akiva says you can give it to any kohen. The Chomim Oisrim, Chom says it can be eaten by humans and is indeed eaten by them in a time of the need. It's got a din of normal truma, it has to be guarded, and can't be given to somebody who's not meticulous with the laws of tuma and tara. 10. Challah separated outside Eretz Yisrael and brought to Eretz Yisrael. Nita ishtakoya hevi chalas mi beitar velo kiblu mimenu. This beitar is not a beitar in Eretz Yisrael, it's a beitar somewhere outside Eretz Yisrael. And Nittai brought it to Eretz Yisrael to give to the Kohanim there to eat. Probably thought he was doing a wonderful thing. But the Kohanim, the Chachomim, did not allow him to give the challah to the Kohanim because, as we said before, it came from Chutz La'aretz, and Chutz La'aretz is considered to be Tomei, so we regard it as challah, which is Tomei, which therefore cannot be eaten. They also didn't allow them to burn it, however, because the Chachomim were concerned that people will see this challah being burnt and they might assume that it's permitted to burn tohar challah. They won't realize that it came from Chutz La'aretz and it's considered to be tomei. Take it back to Beitar, the Chachomim wouldn't allow them to do that either, because it would look like you're sending challah of Eretz Yisrael to outside Chutz La'aretz. Therefore, the challah was actually set aside until the day before Pesach when it was burnt with the rest of the chomes. Anyway, so they didn't accept his challah. Anche Alexandria, heviu chalaseim Alexandria, velo kiblu mehem. The men from people from Alexandria brought their challah all the way from Alexandria. And once again, the Chachamim did not accept it. Anche har tzvoyim heviu bikureihem kodim atzeres. People from Tzvoyim, the mountains of Tzvoyim, they brought bikurim before the festival of Shavuos. Bikurim should only be brought after Shavuos. We learn it from a posuk. And the festival of harvest, that's Shavuos, Bikurei Ma'asecha Shetizra Basoda, the first fruits of your labours that you sow in the field. It's referring to the Shtei Halechem, but since it refers to them as Bikurei Ma'asecha, the first of your produce, it teaches that they should be the first and they must precede all other menachos as well as Bikurim. And therefore they didn't accept it. Ben Antigonus Ha'ela Bechoros Mibovel. He brought Bechoros, firstborn offerings, or firstborn animals, from Bovel, whereas the Chiyuv of the Bechor is only from animals that are Israel, as it says explicitly in the Pasuk, V'chalta l'tenei Hashem l'kecha b'amokim ashe yivchar l'shakin shmei shom, in the place which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose, ma said g'onuchov s'rishchov yitzarecha v'chiros b'koruchov t'zeinecha. So Bechoros b'koruchov only applies with the flocks of Eretz Israel. Yosef HaKohen hevi b'kuri yayim v'shemen v'lokib l'menu. Yosef HaKohen brought as Bikurim wine and oil, not the actual fruits. Even though we actually learnt somewhere above that wine and oil are the sole exception of things you can bring as Bikurim. Other fruits you can't. You can't squeeze your oranges and bring orange juice. You've got to bring the original fruit. But they didn't accept it from Yosef HaKohen because he originally intended to bring the grapes and the olives. And only later he changed his mind and brought them in liquid form. And you can only bring them as wine and oil when you had that kavanah originally, that the ultimate form of the fruit is the wine and the oil, and therefore that was your intention from the beginning. He also, this Yosef HaKohen, brought his sons and his household to make Pesach cotton in Yerushalayim. They turned him back in order that the matter should not be established as obligatory, in order that people shouldn't think. Although, if somebody wasn't able to bring Korban Pesach for Pesach Rishon, then he does bring Pesach Sheni, but it's only a chiyuv on a man, not on the women, and not on the women, or presumably Avodim or other members of the household, even though they can bring, but since Yosef was a well-known public figure, the Chazal feared that if he would offer the Pesach offering, people would assume that the children and the women are actually required to bring a Pesach Sheni. And that might result in them bringing a Korban even when Pesach Sheni falls on Shabbos, where obviously you can only bring it if there's a Chiyuv. Therefore they actually turned him and his family away. Aristo in Hevi Bikurov Mi'am Pamyo V'kiblu Mimenu. Aristoin brought... I don't know who Aristone was. He sounds like an interesting person. Worth doing some research. But Aristone brought Bikurim from Apamyo, which is somewhere in Surya. And just as Chazal said, and we learned at the very beginning, you have to take Trumas and Maseras from land in Surya. So also, you should bring Bikurim from the land in Surya. And Aristone did the Kibla Vimenu, and they accepted his produce. Bepesha Omru Akoine Basuria Kakoine Bafarba Vishalayim Bafar Vor Shivrishalayim. Because they said, while he requires land in Surya, it's as though you've acquired land outside Yerushalayim. In other words, it's got a din of Eretz Yisrael. Only Midrabbanan, admittedly, that's got a din of Eretz Yisrael. Slik Mesechtus Chala, Hadam Loch Mesechtus Chala. And next tomorrow.